certain story that keeps coming to mind, and I'd like to look at it with you. It's found, let's see here. It's in the Gospel of Mark, in the seventh chapter of Mark. Glad for all the things we've heard tonight already, by testimony and in other ways. These songs have been very precious to us, and they speak to our hearts. And God has been working. You can sense that throughout this meeting. His presence has been here, and He's been setting us free. You know, God wants to set you free. We're all bound up inside, and that's a great need that we have so often. I find people, they have trouble giving expression to what's in their heart, and sometimes in meetings they can't praise the Lord, they can't lift their hands, they can't open up, and they don't realize that's a real bondage, and that Jesus would like to set you free from that. He'd like to free you up inwardly. And here we read a story about a man that was bound and needed to be set free, and Jesus knew exactly how to do that. Praise God. It's a different story than many stories that we read of people in a similar situation. But, you know, Jesus never deals with any two people exactly alike. I like to sit with people and ask them of their experience with the Lord. And I marvel, it's never the same with anybody. Oh, we all come to the same Jesus. We all have to acknowledge our sin and humble ourselves in repentance and reach out to Him and so on. But every story is different. Every person is a unique individual in God's eyes, and he deals with each one of us in that own our own special way. Praise God. Sometimes siblings have trouble because, you know, God is working in one, and or one experiences God in a certain way, and then the other one feels like, well, I'm expected to experience God that way too, and sometimes they feel that pressure. But I often tell young people, and especially brothers and sisters, you're different than your brother, and you're different than your sister. God's going to work differently in you than He does in them. And so don't be troubled if God is doing something in their life in one way and He's dealing with you another way. Just be yourself in God. Let God have His way in you. And you know, that's the beauty of Jesus. He loves you as you are. He created you as you are. And He wants you to be who you are in Him. He wants to be in you, that special child of God. Now, here we read a story toward the end of the chapter. It says in verse 31, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, excuse me, this is Mark 7. I'm looking at the big 8 in front of me, but the 7's on the previous page. Mark 7:31, departing out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hands upon him. He was a deaf man. And he was not able to communicate either. His tongue was tied in some way. And so they brought him to Jesus. Word was getting out that this Jesus could do anything, and words of his healing were spreading, and so wherever Jesus went, he was met with people that were in great need. They would come out into the streets and lay their sick at his feet and beseech him for his touch. And we see that here. They said, Lord, touch him. Put your hand upon him. Now this man had more than one problem. First of all, he was living in a world of silence. He was deaf. We don't know how long he was deaf. But we know that he was shut up in a world of silence. I can't imagine what that's like, naturally speaking. And then, to make matters worse, he couldn't even communicate to others what was in his heart, what he was going through. It must have been a very frustrating existence. And so they brought him to the one that could do something about it, could set him free and release him from that prison that he was in. Recently, my family was reading the story of Helen Keller, and my daughters were reading that for school, and once or twice I read along with them, and then we got the DVD, and we watched the story of Helen Keller, and there's a few versions of that. The original version, one actress is Helen Keller, and then in the next version, she's Anne Sullivan, and somebody else is Helen Keller. And then I got hold of the biography of Helen Keller, and I was so amazed at that woman and the intelligence of that woman. She really was a genius in her own right, and Anne Sullivan recognized that there was something inside that girl that if we could just get it out, there's no telling what could happen, what could become of her life. And she had someone who believed in her and saw beyond the outward limitations and so on, and who just devoted their life entirely to that person and setting that person free. In our Vacation Bible School this year, we're going to pick up that theme. We're going to talk about Helen Keller and the prison that she was in, and how one came to set her free. And then we're going to talk about the true miracle worker who is able to set us free. There's some good parallels that I saw in that story that I thought would be a good springboard for our Vacation Bible School. And I found that Helen Keller, she learned how to write, and she is able to write in a number of different languages and read in a number of different languages. She said that certain books she liked to read in German. She liked to read in the original German. And then there were some books that she liked to read in French. And then there were other languages that she was learning. And then she met so many famous people in her life. And it just really is a fascinating story. And the things that she communicated. Anne Sullivan was trying to help her to understand. Maybe some of you know that story. She was spelling words in her hand, because Helen was blind as well as deaf. She couldn't see the signs, so she had to feel them. And so whenever she got hold of an object, the teacher would put that object, let her touch the object, and then she would spell into her hand the name of that object, what it was. And Helen would spell it back to her, but she made no connection between what was going on in her hand and this object that she was holding. But she kept doing that over and over and over again. She said, I may have to do it a million times, until she finally, something clicks on the inside that she'll make the connection. And when she makes that connection, she's going to be released into a whole new world is going to open up for her. And but Anne Sullivan felt completely helpless. She knew that this was something beyond her ability to produce. All she could do was spell. All she could do was persist. But something had to click inside of Helen. And that's something that she just had to wait for and hope for. And I like the end of the story. That's how it ends on the video. Helen's getting back to her stubborn ways and disobeying, and she knocked the glasses of water or took the pitcher of water and threw it in Anne Sullivan's face. They make it rather dramatic. I don't know exactly how it happened. And so Anne Sullivan grabs that pitcher of water, grabs Helen, drags her out to the well there, the pump, and makes her fill that pitcher again and bring it back. You're not going to get away with throwing this water in my face. And you're old enough now and you understand enough to know that that's not the right behavior. We're not going to let you just fall back into that. And suddenly, as she's pumping that water and sticking Helen's hand with the pitcher under that water, suddenly something happens. Helen drops the pitcher and starts touching the spout, wants her to pump more water. And so she starts pumping, wondering what's going on. She's pumping, and all of a sudden, Helen reaches out for her hand and spills water. For the first time, she makes the connection that these things that she was spelling in my hand are actual things in the world in which I live. And then she began to feel around, and she wanted to know what this was and what the spelling for that was. And it really was an exciting moment, very dramatic, and just, you're sitting on the edge of your seat there. It was great. But something happened to bring her, to open up a whole new world to her and to release her from the prison of herself, of that silent prison that she was in. And once she was able to touch and communicate with the world around her, then the potential within her began to take form. And she began to develop, and she began to grow, and her intellect, and so on. One day, Helen Keller asked her, this is just something interesting, but she asked Anne Sullivan, by signs, I imagine, what is love? Up till now, everything that she had been learning about were tangible objects, you know, a bird and a flower and so on. What is love? And then she asked, is love the warm feeling that I feel from the sun? No, that's not love. And then she asked, is that the sweet smell that I smell in the flowers? Is that love? No, that's not love. And she didn't know exactly how to communicate love to her, these concepts that are somewhat intangible. And then one day, she was sitting with Helen, and Helen was putting some beads on a string, and she was following a certain pattern. You know, two of this type of bead, and three of that type, and two of this, and she was getting the pattern wrong. And so Anne would correct her. No, it's this one. And then she tried it again, and she worked at it, and then she'd get it wrong again. And so Anne would correct her again, and then Anne touched her head and spelled think. And Helen Keller, in her biography, says, when she did that, somehow I understood that this process of trying to figure out what I was doing wrong was thinking. And then from there she was able to branch out into understanding other concepts rather than just concrete objects. So I found that interesting, and I hope you did too, or I've just wasted my time talking for a few minutes. But here we find another man who was bound and shut up in a silent prison. He couldn't hear anything from the outside, and he couldn't communicate himself. And so they took him to Jesus, and they told Jesus exactly what to do. Lay your hand upon him. That seems to always work. You do that a lot. But you know, the Lord doesn't always do it the way he's done it to someone else or the way we expect him to do it. I've often found that out, and I think he sometimes goes out of his way to not do it exactly the way I expect him to do it. Because he doesn't want me to trust in my understanding of how he does things, or but he just wants me to come to Jesus and just let Jesus take care of my need however he chooses to. I often limit him by my understanding. When I say, Lord, do it this way, I often find that I limit him, because if I just let him do it his way, he would do much more than just meet that need, because he has something always much more wonderful in mind. And so they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus, it says, he took him away from the multitude. He took him aside just to get alone with him. And it says here that Jesus put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Now, later on in this chapter, in the next chapter, you read of Jesus spitting and making clay with the spittle and healing a blind man. But that wasn't something that he did very often. I think you only read about it in those two places. And there's a question here as to what exactly Jesus did. But we know that in some way Jesus was communicating to this man in a way that no one else had been able to communicate to him. The man could see, he couldn't hear, and he couldn't speak. His tongue was tied, maybe he can make noise or so on, but he couldn't communicate. And so Jesus, if he put his hands in his own ears, or if he put his hands in the man's ears, he was indicating that these ears are going to be opened. And they say that when you're tongue-tied, you're not able to spit. That's one of the problems that people have when their tongue is tied, they're not able to spit. And so Jesus spit and then touched his tongue to show that I'm going to loose your tongue and I'm going to open your ears. And I'm sure the man understood that. Jesus knew exactly how to communicate with him. Others had tried, I'm sure, and it just added to his frustration to no end. But here Jesus gets alone with this man, and Jesus makes this man to know, I understand. I understand your frustration. I understand the prison that you're in, and I've come to set you free. And he's able to communicate that to that man. And I'm sure faith then rose in his heart and expectation as Jesus indicated to him what he was about to do. And then Jesus said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately, his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Praise God. What a wonderful miracle took place that day. And a wonderful way in which Jesus brought that about. You know, where we are very much like this man, and there are many people like him. Oh, we're not maybe naturally deaf. We can hear sound and so on. But our ears are closed. Closed to God. Closed to his voice. And we find that we're all tied up on the inside. We can't express ourselves. We don't understand. We don't understand ourselves. Many young people go through that. They just don't understand what's happening in their life. They don't know how to tell you the way they feel because they really don't understand it themselves. And sometimes they try to talk to you and they say, no, it's not like that at all. It's like this. And then they say, oh, never mind. I can't put it into words. I don't really know how I feel. Sometimes we're like that and we feel bound on the inside. And Jesus doesn't want to leave you there. Jesus wants to come and he wants to speak to you and he wants to set you free to be what he has called you to be in him. And so he takes you aside. Now that's why it's so good to get alone with Jesus like we're doing here at camp. You know, these days of just getting alone with Jesus, God will be able to speak to you in ways that you've never been able to hear him before. That's why you're so frustrated. That's why you're so bound, because God has words of life to speak to you, and you haven't been able to hear him. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. And that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Jesus wants to speak to every one of you. And the wonderful thing about it is he knows how to do that. I remember when I first asked Brother Gardner if I could come and live at Pilgrim Camp. He was starting this winter program, and I got wind of that, and so my dad, you know, nudged me, why don't you go talk to him? And well, there were two reasons. One was that I was scared to death of the man, and the second reason was I didn't know what to say. My tongue was tied. But I got enough courage to get over there, and I sat down and I said, you know, Brother Gordon, I hear that you're starting something for young men maybe this winter, and I wondered if I could be part of that. Oh, he laughed at me. That's not for you. You go to Bible school. It's not going to be anything like that at all. And, you know, and I guess naturally I would have just crawled back to my seat and never asked him again. But it must be that the Lord put it in my heart. And so I probed a little further and inquired a little further and said, I think I'd really like to be. I'm looking to God, trying to understand His will for my life. I've gone to Bible school for 2 years, but I don't really know if I'm called to the ministry. I just saw it as a wonderful opportunity to just get closer to the Lord and get some direction, and I'd really welcome a time like that. He said, well, you go home and you pray about it, and I'll give you a call and you tell me what the Lord has shown you. Well, I didn't know anything about the Lord showing me anything and hearing from God, and he called me and said, did the Lord tell you anything? And say, no, I didn't hear anything. I still like to come, but I don't know what God's saying about that. And he said, well, you keep praying about it, I'll call you again. So I kept praying that the Lord would show me something, talk to me, and called back again. So what did the Lord say to you? Nothing much. I just would like to still come if I can. And so after, you know, few of those, he finally let me come. And that was good. It was a relief. And so I came and I moved here to camp. And I wanted to know what God's will was for my life, and I wanted to know how to hear from God. I heard of so many people talking about, I know the Lord spoke to me, the Lord told me this, and I never had an experience like that. And I wondered, how do you hear from God? How does God make things real to you? And I found that the Lord knows how to do that. I don't know how to hear. Sometimes I say, Lord, I'm trying to hear from you. I'm trying so hard to hear your voice, but I can't. I tried this way, I tried that way. Maybe if I prayed more, I'd hear his voice. Maybe if I read the Bible more, he'd speak to me. And I was trying so hard. And finally, I just, in frustration, said, Lord, I don't know how to hear from you. But one thing I do believe is that you know how to speak to me. And so I'm going to trust you to show me what you want in my life. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how to receive it. But Lord, I'm going to just keep trusting you to speak to me. And that's what you need to do. You might not know how to hear from God, but God knows how to take you aside and speak to you in a way that you can get hold of, just like he did to this deaf man. And I found that God has wonderful ways of doing that, wonderful ways of leading you and making things clear to you and opening doors for you, confirming his will in your life. And we grow in that experience as we learn to trust him to speak, and we develop an ear for his voice. I remember, it doesn't always come easy. I think that anyone that you speak to that follows the Lord, they'll say there are times when it doesn't come easy. And then there are other times when it's just so clear that God has put this thing in your heart, or God has directed you in a certain way. I remember I was talking to my wife a few years ago, and I was talking to her about some decision that we were praying about. And we had been praying about that for some time, and I just didn't know how I was going to know what God wanted. And I remember, and it's so unusual because it never happened like this before, but while I was driving out to Long Island to visit my family with her, I suddenly got such a clear conviction in my heart that this is what I was to do. And it seemed as though that the matter was settled. And with that came the courage that I needed to speak to certain people and to, go ahead and do what God wanted me to do, even if there were others that didn't agree or might not agree. And it just was so clear, and that never left me. And I was so thankful that God spoke to me in the way that He did and gave me the grace to continue on. And so what I'd like to just communicate to you tonight or help you to understand is that God knows how to speak to you, whoever you are. He knows. But you got to get alone with Him and let him do it. Get alone with God and say, Lord, I don't know how to hear from You, but I know that You are within me and You can speak to me. And spend time in His Word. Often God will speak through His Word. But we just want to open up and let Him have His way. And then when God speaks to you, not just answering certain questions you may have or directing you in His will, but let Jesus just say to you whatever He wants to say to you. Let Him show you. Let Him make real to you whatever it is that He sees that you have need of. That'll change your whole life. That'll turn your whole life around when you hear what Jesus wants to say to you. And God will do that as you spend time alone with Him. And so it's unfortunate that we miss so much of what God could say and what God could do because we're just swept up in the crowd and we spend so much time with our friends and we're so busy. And the Lord is saying, just come, get alone with Me and let me talk to you. Let Me open your ear and let My voice be heard. And then when Jesus begins to speak, something happens on the inside. The entrance of His Word brings light to us. And God begins to change us inwardly and give us a whole different perspective. There's a liberty that begins to come into our life, and we begin to become the person that God intended us to be. That frustration that was so much a part of our existence, God removes that, and He brings order and peace into our hearts, and He begins to enable us to communicate to those around us as God would have us to. Makes us the blessing and develops us into the person that He would have us to be. And so I know it's a simple thought tonight, and but I think that if we would really consider these simple truths, there's no telling what God would do. No one could have ever known the potential in the life of Helen Keller. And once she broke out of that world, there was no stopping her. And, you know, that's the way it is in every soul here tonight. And even more so, but the potential in every life, what Jesus could do, what He could, the life that He could live through you is far beyond anything that you could ever imagine, anything that you could ever hope to be yourself. And so Jesus says, let Me speak to you. Let Me speak words of life to you. And they'll change you in ways that you could never have imagined. Praise God. And so let's open our hearts to Jesus. Say, Lord, speak, My Lord. Speak to Me, Jesus. Speak and I will answer. Amen. Praise God.